Order. I'm going to get myself a barrister's wig. Mr. L, Mr. L's Tavern, Social Assassin Podcast from the vampire state of New York, where Sarah Palin currently is now. Welcome to New York, Sarah. I mean, you've been here once before, many times before. Technically, you worked here when you worked for Fox News, but I'm giving you an official welcome. Enjoy your stay. I hope you like the food. Because as of now, that's about all that's good about this place. I covered the Palin versus Times trial when it commenced on my podcast, Who Are They? The second segment. You can listen to that at podomatic.com/Emerald Tavern. You could also download the Podomatic app, put it in your phone, listen to my podcast, subscribe to them, listen to them while driving to work in your car, on the treadmill, walking your dog in the park, wherever the hell you want to listen to it. That's right. It's the Palin versus the Times, the libel trial of the century. The libel trial of the century, the thriller from Wasilla versus the old gray lady. That was my Howard Cosell attempt, if any of you care. I've done better, much better. So it's now going into jury deliberations as I speak over the weekend, and she is still in New York with her attorneys, and she's in a staying at a hotel somewhere in Manhattan, and is hanging out with her buddy. Yeah, okay, pull this leg, and it plays Sweet Caroline. You can't tell me that. You can't tell me that this guy is a buddy. No, I don't buy it. Would you think I was born yesterday? Holding hands in front of cameras? Come on. Either that or she's just playing with the media's head and, you know, it's like, all right, hold my hand because I want to just mess with these people. I don't know, but I never hold hands with my buddies, male or female. And it's really not necessary. So I'm not buying it, but it's none of my business. There you go. Come on, what did people think? She was going to stay single forever? And it's like these people who the first day, by the way, she's getting a lot of press here in New York. I live in the state, and I see the local media every day. And the newspapers, the New York Post, the Daily News, you know, she's almost getting, you know, I remember the first day of the trial, they gave her a full page in the New York Post, I think on page 4 or 5. It's just really something else to see actual I want to say fair media coverage from all sides in all political realms on this case, especially from the New York press. And the trial of the libel trial of the century, because this is a very important case for First Amendment watchers, apparently. And it is. And I said this to you back in 2017 when she first filed this lawsuit. I told you, if you go listen to my YouTube archive and you find that video, you'll hear me say that this case was never meant, really, in my opinion, to win in the lower courts. It was meant to win, go to the Supreme Court and have a go over there. But yeah, they're very very flattering coverage. I wouldn't say flattering, but fair. And a lot of press for her here. And the first pictures of her, really, it's a lot of folks haven't really seen her. Not everybody watches Jesse Waters, and not everybody watches Newsmax. So they're used to seeing her from, I don't know, 10-something years ago. And she has changed in her look. And some, well, I want to say one or two bloggers on our side, of course, it's always, these kinds of comments are always coming from our side. The left at least stabs you in the front. One or two of these people are making comments about her look that first day she left the courthouse. And, you know, it was an overcast day that day, and so you have that unflattering light coming from above, and it kind of accentuates every wrinkle on your face or crevice in your face. And so the one blogger I saw on our side, supposedly, said, did a whole blog about how she mangled her face with plastic surgery. And that, not even talk about the importance of the case. Not even talk about that. No, she mangled her face with plastic surgery. I don't see it personally. I think this woman, to be fair and to be honest, she's gotten old. She's 58 years old. Did people think she was going to stay 40 forever? It's just not possible. And in terms of plastic surgery, I just don't see it, except for the maybe lip fillers. I think she's had her lips done a few times. Maybe a slight Botox enhancement around the face. But I don't see signs of a huge overhaul nip tuck. Because you still see basic aging. But then the next day she came out, she was wearing a pink blazer. And she had a lot of makeup on, and her hair was done up, and she didn't have sunglasses on and everything. And it was like, back to the old Sarah, you know, glam Sarah, rocking it out in New York City for the libel trial of the century over an article that was written in 2017 in June after a lunatic Rachel Maddow disciple was driven mad by Rachel Maddow and MSNBC day and night, night and day. He was listening to this anti-Trump crap, and he went and shot a congressional baseball team up, shot Steve Scalise. Steve Scalise almost, just barely made it with his life, was able to return to normal. Yeah, and then these jerks at the New York Times turned around and they threw a paragraph, they just horseshoed a paragraph in, falsely linking the Palin crosshair map at Palin Pack, Sarah Pack, to the Gabrielle Giffords shooting, which six people were shot, people were killed, including a little girl. So all over again, they did this to her. And, you know, the backstory of that was one of the worst times in my blogging, commentating history ever to go through that. Could you imagine what it was for her? It got so bad. The lie went so bad around the world that she had to actually record where, of course, people on the right were saying, no, no, don't do that, Sarah. Just sit back and take it. Bend over the table and let them give it to you. No, she went out there and she recorded a video, a very heartfelt video, in which she made her case. And some who didn't even like her looked at that video and said, you know what? This woman's presidential. I'm seeing a whole different side to her, which is what the jury has seen a whole different side to. And that was a nightmare back then. I even did two videos on leftist political rhetoric, which didn't feature me talking. It was just a montage set to music. And it's still up there on YouTube. It was a montage set to music of all of the crazy stuff that leftists say, including Obama, including Biden, political, social commentators. They do it. They've done it. And where is anybody accusing of them of incitement? Nobody. Because they're Democrats. They get away with this stuff, you see. So, no, it was, again, the New York Times taking a faulty claim and making it new again. It was an old smear. They made it a new smear. And to be honest with you, I don't know if the jury is hearing that, because I'm not sure if Palin's attorneys have talked about that in the cross-examination. This was a debunked already lie going back for years, that these reporters, including the editor, James Bennett, had to have known was debunked. So Sarah Palin wakes up one day and sees this again and rightly files a lawsuit. And hence why she's here in New York. It's finally in trial, now in deliberation after 4 years. And these people are finally on the hot seat. You have Ross Douthat, or whatever his name is, the writer who wrote it, a female writer by the last name of Williamson, who was crestfallen. Oh, she was crestfallen by the mistake. Why'd you make it? Why'd you make it, little missy? And the other one, the Bennett, James Bennett, the editor at large. I had a deadline. I didn't know. You didn't know. Yeah, okay, you didn't know, dude. You're politically. You have a political mind. You were politically in tune. You knew just what the hell the blogosphere, the Twitter, the Facebook. The everybody in the media during 2011, why were they doing it? They were doing it because they feared she was going to run for president and win. That's why. That's why they did it. That was their motive to do it. But what his motive to do this was, one would never know. But they have this guy Bennett out there taking the fall for the time. They're trying to do that. They're trying to have this guy Bennett come out there and take the fall and go, oops, sorry, it's me. I made the mistake. No, this goes deeper than that. Something's wrong here. Because as she said on the stand, here I am in 2017. I have no political PAC. My kids are doing their thing. I'm taking care of my Down syndrome son. I'm not even politically active. I have no TV contract. I'm sitting here, up here, freezing my ass off, and I'm not doing anything. And these jerks come along and take this claim that I thought I had it in the rearview mirror, and here they are trying to do that again. Lawsuit time. That's all. That's all. Now, I'm sure Palin's lawyers are very fine people, and they're very astute law minds. However, I want to know why, during this cross-examination setting, why they did not, and I might be wrong, I don't know, there's no transcripts, I can't see what was said in the courtroom, but why wasn't it brought up by Palin's lawyers, who won a very significant case for Hulk Hogan against Gawker? Many of you know that. They got Hulk Hogan a boatload of money, and the lawsuit that he filed basically put Gawker under that garbage site that it was. And I want to know why the lawyers did not bring up the fact that James Bennett was the editor of The Atlantic during a time when Andrew Sullivan, the so-called conservative at The Atlantic, was writing in 2008 to 2010 until he decided that it wasn't working anymore, the lie wasn't working anymore. He was writing article after article smearing Sarah Palin, accusing Sarah Palin of not having Trig Palin, that wasn't her child, and it was actually Bristol's child. And insinuating that it was Bristol's child and that she was taking care of it. You know, the thing that people used to do back in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s when, you know, a young sister got knocked up by, you know, some guy and she was like 16 years old and she couldn't even, you know, help herself. How's she going to raise a kid? So, you know, the 20-year-old sister takes the kid. It happened to Jack Nicholson, by the way. Many people don't know that. Jack Nicholson was raised not by his mother, but by his sister, by his aunt, rather, his real mother's sister. You know, Jack Nicholson has been an advocate for anti-abortion advocate, you know, pro-life for that reason. Anyway, that's a sidebar. But this guy was allowed under James Bennett to write this filth and garbage and lies. And he was allowed to do it for a very long time under one James Bennett. Now, you mean to tell me James Bennett? Now, you got to understand these people. When they go and write something, they write it. It goes to the editor. The editor looks at it, reads it. They send it to a proofreader. They send it to another proofreader. Then they send it to a fact checker. And what did they do? They ignored the fact checker. They ignored the fact checker. They ignored the fact checker because James Bennett had another axe to grind with Ms. Palin. He wanted to throw it in. He wanted to throw and horseshoe it in for fun. Well, now they're all paying the price, and hopefully they will all pay the ultimate price with their jobs, because these people do not deserve to write for the penny saver, because they're garbage, and the Times should just be firing people who have this sort of mentality, deadline mentality. No, you guys knew what you were doing. You knew what you were doing. Palin is the direct line to Trump. That was Obama's words, okay? Now, no, actually, I am the one who said it first, okay? Sarah Palin and the Tea Party and Andrew Breitbart were the first of Trump's kind. They were Trump before Trump, okay? It just so happened that that didn't happen that way, where it was either one of them at the helm. It turned out to be Trump, okay? I said that. Then PBS said that. Then Obama finally said it himself. So what do? If you can't link Trump to this shooting, you bring up another thing, and they knew that it was a lie. They knew it was discovered as there was no connection back in, 2012, when it was finally put to rest, when people of all political stripes were coming out and saying, no, that guy Jared Lee Loeffner, he was a whack job. Schizophrenic, obsessed with the congresswoman, couldn't leave her alone, and had nothing to do with Palin's pack. And oh, by the way, people on the left have put out political maps with crosshairs on it. It doesn't mean that it's an incitement or a reason for people to go kill people, or that it is, that people do. So that is where we are. I'm also unsure of why they didn't really bring up a page in a book written by Dan Balls, who I like to, my nickname for him is Dan's Balls. He's a Democrat political hack who wrote a book in 2000, in 2013. It was called Collision. I actually spoke about it on my podcast when my podcast was on YouTube. And it was about the Mitt Romney-Obama lead-up, and then the election and the outcome. And it was kind of like the game change, I guess, his attempt at the game change type writing. And he has a page in the book on 112. The chapter is called The Republicans. And he writes, as 2011 opened, Palin suffered another political setback. After the shootings in Tucson in January 2011, some liberals, all of them, blamed the violence in part of the climate they had been created by right-wing zealots. Palin was singled out for having issued a list of Democrats she said deserved defeat in 2010, with crosshairs on their congressional districts. Palin was at first perplexed, then frustrated, then finally angry. advisors warned her to respond carefully. Instead, she struck back with a video released in the morning. Obama was on his way to Arizona to deliver remarks at a memorial service for the victims. You remember that memorial service? They basically had T-shirts made up. T-shirts made up says, "Together we thrive," and they turned it into a shameless anti-gun rally over the bodies of dead people. Because that's who they are. And the slogan was, "Together we thrive." I said it was, "Together we connive." Because that's what they are. Conniving bastards. And in the Palin video, she said, "If you don't like a person's vision for the country, you're free to debate that vision. If you don't like their ideas, you're free to prompt better ideas." But especially within hours of a tragedy unfolding, journalists and pundits should not manufacture a blood libel that serves only to incite the very hatred and violence they purport to condemn. That is reprehensible. Now, what she was talking about there, many, many people do not know this, but she, elaborated on it on when she took the stand finally. And I love how she's in a courtroom sketch. I never thought I would see that. But she's basically said, you know, my family and myself, we received a lot of whack job death threats. And we're pretty much humble people living up here wide open. Yeah, we got guns, but, you know, it's pretty much, we don't have major security around us. It's just us up here. And it was a really trying time. And that's what the comment was in that video. And as Dan Bowles writes this in this book, Collision, he makes the implication that basically that shooting really hurt her. And I'm going to agree with that, because when you have, as she likes to say, that bell rung, it is hard to unring that bell. Somebody's accusing you of inciting murder. That goes around the corner, around the world, and it doesn't stop, even if it's been debunked several times over. As you could see what the Times did. Now, the question was asked to me, can she get a fair trial in New York? Yes and no. Now, here's why I think she did get a fair shake. I believe that most people, yes, all people, know who she is. There's no question about it. And I do know that people, a lot of people, like her. A lot of people don't like her. A lot of people really don't know her. The thing about Sarah Palin is, once you, what I've heard, I don't know her, but once you know her, she's a very likable person in the sense of how personality, a political figure like Reagan or Clinton were very likable. But that's irrelevant in this case. What people, and so that goes back to me, how could a jury be picked fairly and she be given a fair shot in New York City in a federal court with all of this negativity surrounding her? They wanted to bring in the Masked Singer clip. What in the hell would that have to do? What would that be about? For what? There's only one reason, to damage her, to make her look like stupid. She was just having fun, but they wanted to bring that in to show that she's this ditz, unserious person. So the idea is to paint her a certain way. However, they could probably do that because minds have already been made up. However, when jury selection, when you're picking a jury, this is not what this case is about. It's about what? An article that was written in 2017 who took a false claim from 2011. Now, how many jurors or how many people in general actually know on that jury, actually know about the article, actually read the article in 2017, actually read the New York Times? Not that very many people do anymore. The physical paper anyway. Physical papers in general have taken a hit because nobody wants to buy them. It's pointless at this point. Just to get ink on your fingers, I suppose. So how do they know about it? That's the thing, right? If something happens, how do you pick a jury that hasn't have their mind already made up? Like with Casey Anthony or OJ. How would you able to pick a fair jury with that? Well, this, I believe they did. I did think they had the opportunity to because, like I said, not that many people knew about the article in the New York Times in 2017. And then, really, not that many people remember, like we remember it, what happened to her in 2011 with that whole accusation. A lot of people don't realize just how unfair and crazy it was. And how it possibly ruined her reputation and her chances for political aspirations. I'm not saying it's over for her, but I'm saying back then at that time, it probably looked for her like it was over. So that's really the crux of the case. She's been here as I record this. It's the weekend just after the jury went on deliberations. They will resume on Monday, and who knows how long they're going to take. Palin is still here, I suppose. I guess she would have to still be here. Can't run back to Alaska in case they decide that they want to make a decision. Then she's got to come all the way back. Just wouldn't make sense. She's here, 58 years old. She just celebrated a birthday this weekend on the 11th of February. They now have to deliberate and make their decision on what is malice. What is malice? Malice is very simple. It's somebody, I guess, knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing. A lot of people, like I said, who were never in her corner have come out in her corner. I saw Greg Jarrett making comments on Fox News about the case on Hannity. I was shocked by what he was saying because Greg Jarrett hated her. I thought Greg Jarrett might be drinking again. I couldn't believe it. And people are seeing that this is a major blow to journalism, period. If this transpires in the way that I would like it to go. And this is something that has been a long time coming. And I said it back then, in 2017, if it loses here, maybe that was the plan all along because they go to the Supreme Court and you've got two justices on that court who have said, clearly stated, they think that the Sullivan case needs to be revisited, much like a lot of old things that may need to be revisited, Roe v. Wade. And, you know, this is where we're going. Maybe this is where she's going. Oh, by the way, any headlines that you do a Google search and you see, let's see, what are the titles for these articles that they put out when you do a Google search of Palin's name? Yeah, Slate Magazine. Sarah Palin lawsuit, the moment her testimony fell apart at the New York Times trial. And you click on it. Oh, subscription service. Please subscribe to us. Washington Post, her testimony cratered by Eric Wimple, who's been writing pretty much favorable articles. But then he turns around and he writes some article with the headline, it's cratered. And then you click on it. Oh, subscription. Not. Don't buy the dreck. That's all they're trying to do. They're trying to sell papers. They're trying to sell subscriptions. Leave it alone. Who needs it? Who wants to hear it? Paragraphs and paragraphs of nonsense. No, I don't believe her testimony cratered. I think her testimony, from what I heard of it, it was very effective. Her delivery was very effective. And I think it got to show city folk what she's all about in reality, not some caricature of, SNL. So the jury will deliberate. They will make the decision soon. I might have another podcast of this kind coming up to converse with you people about what is going on. But the libel trial of the century is taking place before our eyes. I'm watching it very closely. And I wish Mrs. Palin a very happy birthday and a much-needed good luck. And that's the deal with that.